Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. Praise be to Allah, who sent down upon us His book most clear. Alhamdulillah, الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. Praise be to Allah, who created the human being in the most excellent mold. وَبَعَثَ نَبِيِّينَ مُبَاشِرِينَ وَمُنْزِرِينَ and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدُهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. His is the kingdom. To him is due all unqualified praise. In his hand is all good, and he has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ And I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. We say, اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. Send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, وعلى آله and upon his family, وصحبه and upon his companions, أجمعين. ويا أيها المسلمون, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله. وجمع مبارك. أما بعد, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this, the 55th surah, first through the fourth ayah, is the most gracious, the merciful benefactor, that is Allah, and that's one of his attributes. It is he who has taught the Quran, he has created Al-Insan. It's very important to make that distinction. Al-Insan, created man, is an expression of it. He has taught him speech and intelligence. Alhamdulillah, sadaqallahu al-azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. We are working through another expression of these four ayah of Surah 55. Just seeking, inshallah, to appreciate how, in fact, the many, many varied messages that are in the Quran, but we're particularly focused on the role, or rather our title, I'll explain the title, further into the frontier of the Holy Quran, further into the frontier of the Holy Quran. This is to speak to the richness that is in the Quran and how all of us, the speaker included, we still have much further to go in relationship to the understanding of what it is that Allah has actually blessed humanity with, and if we are sincere and have come to al-Islam, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us personally with. It is richer than that. So that part is kind of an editorial comment, so I have to move on to the content to increase, which is my hope, a greater appreciation for what it is that we have in our hands every day when we hold the Quran. Ar-Rahman, we've covered this, and so we'll just gloss over it. Ar-Rahman, that is the grace of Allah, the favors of Allah to all humanity, not just the Arabs. The Arabs of the time of the coming of the revelation, they were the first to receive it, but it was not revealed, quote unquote, for them only and exclusively. It was revealed for all humanity, but that was the starting point for it. And of course, the next verse, Allam al-Quran, and that is because of the role and the function of literally the language of Lughat al-Arabiya among the ancient Arabs as the fostered, nurtured, cultivated language among the human beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was growing. I'll use that metaphor, continuing to grow that which could carry the message of the final revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, the whole history of the language itself is critical to that final revelation, the role that the Quran plays. So, Allam al-Quran, when we spoke through that with some detail, that the fact that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealed it to Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and so he caused it to be known to him. And this we covered, explaining that Allah kept his nature pure. When we speak of him, it says ba'athahu fil ummiyin. We speak oftentimes in our opening that Allah raised him up from among the ummiyin. There'll be more to be said, inshallah, about this today. Just to reinforce the point, but the ummiyin, ummi is in that. Is in that. Mother is in that. And it's speaking to mother wit, it's speaking to mother nature, it's speaking to someone coming forth. We speak of fitr. That is, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everyone is born on fitr. They are born on the original pattern and design that Allah intended for them. Everyone. But then their parents, it is their parents, but it's culture. It's the culture that takes them away from that original pattern or design. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Muhammad ibn Abdullah from being lost from his original form to the culture of the Arabs of his time. And so by protecting and preserving that original nature as the vessel for the receipt of the final revelation, one who had been grown up in the very environment where that language that Allah had created for or as a vessel for the last revelation. So now both parts. You have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you also have the revelation that is now being revealed and sent down in order to be embraced, in order to be carried by the language that Allah himself over eons of time, however long it took, eons of time, had prepared to be the receipt, the recipient or the receptacle for that revelation. So there's two things. Muhammad himself, his biology, his body, his being, that was a preparation. And we reminded of the hadith where the prophet said, in my bloodline there is no fornication or adultery. Allah had preserved him. So now after 40 years, an entire lifetime, after 40 years, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the revelation to one who was raised in that language, whose being was kept pure, and now Allah sends through the angel Jibreel that revelation of the Quran, which is the last revelation to ever come to humanity forever until the end of time. Now that is present on the earth in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is what we still have today. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Think about it. Muhammad has passed away, but what Allah sent is still here. Unspoiled, unsullied, unedited, unchanged. The words of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Got to have an appreciation for that, brother. But I got to keep going. Got to keep going. So, all right. So, Ar-Rahman allama al-Quran. Allama khalaq al-insan. This is what we'll spend a little more time with on today. So, khalaq al-insan. That is, it is a part of the grace of Allah as well, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he completes the historic line of revelation. There has been, according to Al-Islam, there has been 124,000 prophets. 124,000. And Muhammad is the last. 124,000. And Muhammad is the last. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only sends prophets after the human being has gotten so far off the line of trajectory of the proper evolution of his nature in its growth in the direction that Allah has for it to be fulfilled. And whenever the human being gets so far out of line, Allah would send a prophet to show them the line. Get back in line. Imagine this now. Allah doing that 124,000 times. Might not seem like much on one level, 124,000. It's been a long time, a lot of time. Well, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, you have in the calendars that we have in this world. This is I'm kind of getting off the line right now, but it's not an original player. But let me say this anyway, so you can have some idea about it. If you look at the distances between the prophets that we know of, right? I think the Bible gives you a picture of something like 6,000 years. In fact, I believe the Jews, as they're known, 2019 was the year 5078 or something like that on their calendar, something like 5078. And so in terms of that period of time from Moses, because it starts with the Exodus, from that time of Moses up to what we just said, 2019, and even if you go back to Muhammad, 1400 years before that. So it's like between Abraham and the prophet, peace be upon him, then take away that. So it's like 3,500 years. And so we should also understand that all of the prophets are not only those that we call prophets formally that we see and read in the Bible and in the Quran. Allah says that there's some that we've told you about and some that we haven't. What I'm saying is that if in fact 124,000, even if Allah only sent one prophet every year, which we know he didn't, if you sent a prophet every year, that's still 124,000 years. And I went all the way around that corner to come back to say that God has done that a lot of times. God said with Muhammad, this is the last time I'm going to do this. Why do I send the prophet? To get y'all back in line. So that you have at least been out of line 124,000 times to the extent that I need to send the prophet. Have you ever had, you have children and you ever tell their child, this is the last time I'm going to tell you. Do they sit up and pay attention? If it, you getting on my last nerve. You ever heard that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Muhammad, and he's saying this is it. And that's one of the ways that we should understand why so much attention to detail from the Lord of the worlds was given to this final revelation, this final prophet, and a way of life which will never need to be updated. You know what I'm saying? It went on my phone, and you've probably done it before, no doubt. It's like I open up an app, and the app says, okay, we're about to remove this app. We're about to stop using this app. Update now. So it's like, if you don't update it, then you're going to lose information because you didn't have the updated version. They're no longer supporting that particular version. Quran never needs to be updated. Al-Islam never needs to be updated because Al-Islam has the flexibility, it's a part of it, to adapt in ways proper in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to circumstances, no matter what they may be, during whatever time in the life of human beings, from now and forever. This is what we have in the Quran, alhamdulillah. And it's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خلق الإنسان. The Prophet is that first model, I'm saying, in the real three-dimensional world. Muhammad is the model of the perfect man, رجل كامل, he's also called. The perfect human being. Forget about whatever we've thought before if you're not already thinking this way about perfection. Perfection doesn't mean without sin. Perfection doesn't mean without sin. Perfection means an individual who is perfect in their intention to serve God without adding or mixing up anything to it. That is the perfection. The perfect human being is a human being who is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sin is a part of the nature of existence. Sin only, that's the English word from a Greek term, but it actually means making mistakes. It means missing the mark. So sin is a part of the nature of our humanity because of the fact that it doesn't mean that we're sinful by nature. Let me move on. I got some Bible waiting for us down there. It doesn't mean that language. It simply means human beings make mistakes. But the perfect ones acknowledge they make mistakes, they don't justify it, and they ask God for forgiveness. All right, maybe I need to repeat that. The perfect ones are the ones who, when they make a mistake, they acknowledge the mistake, they don't justify the mistake, and they ask God for forgiveness. Acknowledge the mistake, don't justify the mistake, ask God for forgiveness. Then going back to the rest of your life. Is that not merciful? That's all you have. The Lord of the worlds, all he asks is that you and I ask forgiveness when we, quote unquote, sin. That's all. Come on now. Who's got a better way of life than that? Nobody's got better. I ain't got to jump through hoops, double, triple flip, backflip, clean, dismount in order to get God's forgiveness. No. All I got to say is, astaghfirullah. Well, let me go ahead and say this too. It's very powerful. See, some people are suffering fear unduly of the creator of the heavens and the earth. And in that way of fearing that I'm trying to dispel right now, is you are not granting Allah his magnitude of forgiveness.
You're not granting Allah His magnitude of mercy. Allah is most gracious, most merciful, often translated. The merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. So Allah loves to forgive. Allah loves to forgive. It's not, Al-Islam does not invite us to be walk around looking over the shoulder when God gonna give, bring the thunderbolt. That's not, no. The Prophet said, that perfect man, telling us how to live the life under God as human beings. He said, follow up an evil deed with a good deed, because the good deed erases the evil deed, and behave well towards people. That's Islamic life. There's no such thing as a sinless Muslim. Barring the issue of the language sin, that's not our language. There's no mistake-free Muslims, let's put it like that then. There's no error-free Muslims. Fine. Follow up the ill deed with a good deed, and that cleans the slate. And we don't even need to keep going about wudu. You make wudu, every drop of water that falls from your wudu, forgiveness of sin. Every step that you take towards prayer, forgiveness of sin. Every moment you wait for prayer to be established, iqamat as-salah. Every moment that you wait for prayer to be established, thinking only of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgiveness of sin. You haven't even prayed yet. So mashallah. So when Allah says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum, I have perfected for you your way of life. The little things that I've said so far, if you could just line those up and say, okay, I understand that, and I'm just gonna live on that. That'll get you through. Just that. I have perfected for you your way of life. And then it said, I perfected for you your way of life and have completed my favor upon you. That's a great favor. I'm thinking right now about some of my partners that I grew up with, some sisters y'all, you remember some of the sisters y'all grew up with? You know that girl, ooh, that girl, ooh. And all of us had these guys. That's my man, that's my boy, man. We going down, we rolling together. It's like, man, I'm glad I didn't stick with homie. But if those who are still living, when I see them, none but love, because I understand. But the idea is that Allah gave us His perfect favor. Think about what you could be if you were not a Muslim. All you got to do is go back and look at what track you was on before you made that move. Man, they hadn't switched tracks on that one. Now I don't know where. So thank Allah. So let's move to more of this. Muhammad as the completion of the historic line of revelation and the combination. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khalaq al-insan. Muhammad, I've said, he's the man, the human being, that has been joined with the revelation. And Allah says in the Quran, and follow the light that was sent down with him, ma'ahu, the light that was sent down with him. So Muhammad ibn Abdullah, with the receipt of the Quran, now you have Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seal of the prophets on earth, with the light from the Lord of the systems of knowledge. And that's what we have. And Allah says of him, لَقَدْ كَانَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةً حَسَنَةً لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. It says, there is for you in the Messenger of Allah an excellent pattern of conduct for anyone whose hope is in Allah and the last day and who remembers Allah often. That is, whoever recognizes, I am ultimately going to have to answer to the Lord of the worlds. Let's be reminded about that in this moment. I'm speaking right now. So we have this physical contact or interacting with each other in this space and in this time. All of us are going to pass away. And there's a reality that is coming on that ending and in that passing where the Lord of the worlds, we will have to answer to him for how we lived in this brief moment in time called life here. And it is going to, that judgment is going to dictate eternity. Have you ever, your eternity, have you ever been sick? I'm talking about with one of them kind of, I know you have, but I want to bring you there. Oh, I can remember having an earache. I can't remember something that was worse. For me, I've had flus and this and that, and no doubt you have too. But I had an earache that was like, my goodness, what can stop this? And if you have a fever, and you have that, you have sniffles and coughs and shortness of breath, etc. But even in that sickness, in the sickness of that moment, you still had the hope. It's going to be over. It's going to be, man, I'll be glad when this is over. But you had hope that it was going to be over. Not if the judgment don't go your way. If the judgment don't go your way, it doesn't end. Let me speak from the wicked, stupid people right now. Oh, I'll get used to it. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, the last man to enter the hellfire, that he will step on an ember and his brain will begin to boil. And he'll think that he's in the depths of it, when in fact, he is just at the beginning. Listen, you don't want no parts of hell. You don't want no parts of it. So how do we survive that? How do we get beyond that? Remember that we will have to answer to the Lord, cherishes the sustainer of the world, and the angels, they ain't even trying to hear it. You know what I'm saying? Okay, we at home. Listen, you know, NBA playoffs, right? They're going on. I know some of y'all say, man, I don't even pay attention. It's good. But it's a good example. How many times you see these guys? Then they foul somebody, and then they go to the referee like they're going to talk the referee into changing the call. No, man, it was all ball. The referee just keep on walking, whistling his mouth, backing up. He said, you better get back to the game, man. Get on defense, man. So look, with us, there'll be a time where no conversation, nothing to say, no rationalization, no explanation, no justification. That's the time that Allah is telling us, remember that time, remember that moment. And it comes quick. It comes quick. MashaAllah. So Allah has blessed us and favored us with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the model for everything that we're speaking of. He's the model. That's a part of Allah's perfect favor. The way of life is perfect. The book is perfect. The model is perfect. If we can perfect our grasp and practice of this perfect favor that Allah has given us, not only will our life be excellent here, we'll have the best hope of a life, of an excellent life in eternity. It's a big deal. So Muhammad is the last, and he says that my similitude in comparison to the other prophets before me is that of a man who has built a house nicely and beautifully. That is, the prophets did their job nicely and beautifully, except for the place for one brick in a corner. The people go around it and wonder at its beauty, but say, would that this brick had been put in its place. The prophet says, so I am that brick. I am the last of the prophets.
MashaAllah, Sadaqa Rasulullah. The work of God, understand the work of God that we're talking about, brothers and sisters. And you really have to reflect on it, you have to think about it, and hold on to it. When Allah says, and when we read in the Quran, Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa. When Allah says, I am making in the earth a khalifa, before Adam was formed, before you and I, before the earth itself actually existed, I'm talking about in the formal sense, geologically speaking, we have to do a lot of reading in that time with Adam and his wife, and get ye down from here on earth will be your dwelling place for a time. There's a whole lot of teaching that goes into that. Be that as it may, we do know that cosmologically speaking, geologically speaking, there are trillions of years from non-existing cosmos to earth. Trillions of years from non-existing to earth. Not you and me on the earth. No. Trillions of years from non-existent cosmos, non-existing Milky Way, non-existing solar system. Trillions of years from there to you and I existing as human beings on earth. And then you have hundreds of millions of years before we get to or where we were called Homo erectus, blah, blah. All of that time is in that. So, إِنِّي جَعِلُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ was before everything that I just described. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receiving the last revelation and the establishment of Madinatul Munawwara, the model city for how human beings, the model for how human beings can live with mercy, kindness, justice, love, in the face of conflict, differences in opinion, differences of quote-unquote race. Muhammad modeled that before he left the earth. And in his farewell address, he asked the people, have I not delivered the message? And they said, they're witnesses, and Allah is a witness that I've delivered the message. So Muhammad did everything that Allah created him to do. And he brought that last brick. He brought that last revelation. Never needed to be upgraded. Never needed to be updated. Never needed to be revised. A perfect way of life. Never needed to be added to. And when he was wrapped up and laid down, that was it. Now all of us, all humanity that comes after that, We are all to be judged upon how we relate to that final act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sending the last prophet, the last book, and having modeled, given an example that stands in real time for all human beings. There's no excuses. That is, Allah has taken away excuses for not being what Allah created us to be. You can come up, you can make up some excuse. It does not apply, it does not work. So that is the end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 41, he says, وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَاكُمْ وَلَّتَكُنُوا أول الكافر به. صدق الله العظيم. It says, an expression of it, and believe in what I reveal, confirming the revelation which is with you, and be not the first to reject faith therein. Here Allah, in this final revelation to Muhammad, he communicates to the world, believe in what I have been sent with, which confirms what you already have. This is Allah in the Quran through Muhammad telling the world, listen, what I'm bringing you, you already have this. It's confirming what you have. Don't be among the first to reject this. We're not going to spend a lot of time there, but mashallah, the idea is that
Remember the human being, Allah sends prophets when here's the line. And when human beings go astray, then he sends the prophets to get back in line. Human beings go astray, he sends the prophet to get back in line. Here's the line, Sirat al-Mustaqim, we can call it. Here's the line, okay, here, get back. Here, get back. So Allah has done that. So when the last prophet comes, he comes with that which is undeniable. Now I must say, as a footnote, the revelation is first to those who were already in touch with the revelations that came before. It's not to the common person. When Allah reveals, it's not to the common person first. The signs first come to those who are supposed to be in touch with the revelation of Allah. So when we have Warqa bin Nufayl, that's a confirmation of the fact that Allah is confirming, here's one that I've kept amongst you, and he stayed in touch with the Hebrew, he stayed in touch with the revelation, and so now here you come, take it to him, tell him what you got, and he will confirm. That's gold. That's solid. And that is the first confirmation of the fact that the line has been rejoined. The line of revelation has been reconnected. It had been disconnected. But now I send the prophet to reconnect it. And so what comes in this is the confirmation of all that went before. All that went before becomes a proof. Not only Muhammad's life becomes a proof of his truthfulness, but what he brings as revelation becomes a proof of what they had before the Quran came. And the Quran says, they know this is the truth just like they know their own children. It's a big blessing that Allah has granted us, brother and sister. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين آمين الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين So we say Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم خلق الإنسان He is the first order fulfillment of that. Al-Insan, Allah created Al-Insan. Muhammad, the one who received the Quran, the last revelation, the one who was reshaped and molded from common person of original human nature to the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's a model of that. Connecting with the reading that we gave before concluding last, and believe in what I reveal, confirming the revelation which is with you, and be not the first among those who reject. I want to give you a couple of connections between the previous revelation and the Quran. I'm not going to go through the detail. I'm make biblical reference for you, and then give you Quranic connection. Inshallah, it's not my intention to elaborate. I want you to do, if you so will, do your own research, look at it, read it, compare the verses that I'm giving you, Bible, Quran, and then understand and appreciate the connection. So if you look at John 16, verses 7 through 20, a kind of table of contents of what you're going to see there or find there, it talks about the Comforter. Jesus tells his disciples, first you won't see me, then you will see me. He says, the one that comes to you, the whole section begins with, it is expedient to you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come unto you. So when the Comforter comes, he says, the Spirit of truth, he'll guide you into all truth. So this is also what you'll find in that verse as well. And also, it says that he won't speak of himself, but that of which he receives, he's going to speak, because what he receives, he'll receive it from the same source that I received it from. These are the things that you find in that John 16:7-20. So all of this, the Spirit of Truth, when he comes, the Spirit of Truth, he'll guide you into all truth. It says also that what he speaks, he won't speak of himself. He won't speak from himself. He'll be speaking from whatever he receives. And what he will receive, he says also, he will be receiving also of mine. So all of this you can find in reflection. Jibreel, of course. When you talk about the Comforter, when you talk about the Spirit of Truth that will lead you to all truth, first stop is Jibreel, the angel Gabriel, which again, Waraka bin Nufail confirmed when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought to Waraka by his wife Khadija, rahimahullah alayh. That was a confirmation that the same spirit that had come to Moses is the spirit that comes to you, which also came to you, which also confirms another thing that we'll mention in just a minute. So let me give you Quranic verses that tie to that John 16:7-20. Holy Quran 53:2. In essence, the concept that I want you to carry with you immediately is that he's not deluded. The Quran says your companion is not deluded. Quran 53:2. Quran 81:22. Your companion is not possessed. This ties again to the Spirit of Truth. It ties again to what he'll receive of mine. What he gives will not be from himself. All of this is a confirmation of what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And also in 53, Surah 53, 10 and 11 of the Quran, it says, he conveyed what was received without distorting it. So the Prophet didn't distort what he received. Again, a confirmation of the fact that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, if it is to be believed, he says that what he gives will not be from himself. It will be from the source that I got it from. He's going to speak from that. And that bears on the idea that first you won't see me, then you will see me. And that's Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam as a spirit and a word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, John 1:19-25. And in that whole section, it was when the scribes and the Pharisees, or the leaders of the Jews as they were at that time, when they saw John the Baptist, Yahya as we know him, doing what he was doing, and he was shaking things up. And so they came and they questioned him, "Yeah, who are you?" And when they questioned him, they asked him, "Are you the Christ? Are you Elias? Are you that prophet?" And John said, "No, I'm not Christ. I'm not Elias. I'm not that prophet." And then when Jesus comes doing what he was doing, then they questioned Jesus in the same way, because they were still looking for three according to what they had gotten. In that information, in fact, I was not mentioning something, but in that it's come back. Now, let me tell you that, you know, today we call communications that we read on text, you call it a thread. You call it a thread. So, you know, he wasn't in that thread. She wasn't in that thread. You call it a thread. Do you understand that in the language of Revelation and high, let's call it, high human sciences, there's a thing called the spirit that lays down the golden thread, the spirit that lays down the golden thread. And for understanding's sake, I take that to be that line that was laid down by the 124,000 prophets, okay? And they got disconnected. But those who are in touch with it, they say, okay, now we're still looking for three. We're looking for a Christ. We're looking for Elias, and we're looking for that prophet. That one is so ancient, so predicted, so present in everybody's saying that they just called that prophet. So when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came around, they questioned him. And he said that he was the Christ. And when they asked him, "Are you Elias?" he said, "Don't you see? that Elias has already returned in the spirit of John the Baptist. So you got the Christ, you got Elias, but where's that prophet? Still hadn't come. As if Jesus said, I'm the Christ. And you know what happened because of that, right? According to their reports. It was made to appear. Elias is John. That prophet is what he was talking about in the other chapter that I mentioned, John 16:7. That prophet is the one that's coming. And who is it? It's Muhammad, brother and sister. And the Quran tells us, I believe it's 157 of the seventh surah. I don't have that in my notes, but I believe it is 157 of the seventh surah, that one where it talks about and follow the light that will sit down with him. The Quran speaks about him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being mentioned in the Torah and the Injil and all the other things that he would be doing. It's an affirmation of, look, all the things that you learn it, that you are looking for, Muhammad is that, and you know this like you know your own children. And so Allah has confirmed that in the life of Prophet Muhammad and left these marks in the book. In Deuteronomy 18:18, it says that God is going to raise up one from among their brethren like unto Moses, like unto Moses. The short version, compare the life of Muhammad and compare the life of Isa and compare both of their lives to Moses. Which one is more like Moses? Moses married, Muhammad married. Moses natural birth, Muhammad natural birth. Moses accepted by his people, Muhammad accepted by his people. Now which one of those things that does Jesus take care of? No disrespect to Isa, the prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. No, but the picture that has been given to us of him, and to say that he fulfills that, is simply not true. Because the qualities and the attributes of the one to be like Moses are better fulfilled in Muhammad than they are in Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's without getting into so much of the other genetics of it. But we could say, and also, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, 73:15, 73rd chapter in the 15th verse, it says, and we are sending you to your people even as we sent a prophet unto Pharaoh. Here Allah is saying, this is the fulfillment of raising up one from among their brethren like we raised one up, or rather we'll raise one up from among them like you. Muhammad fulfills that. So Muhammad fulfills the New Testament idea of that prophet. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fulfills the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of one being sent like Moses was sent to Pharaoh. And the last point on this, in Isaiah 29:12, here's what the King James Version, or the version of the Bible, says, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he, the one that the book was brought to, will say, I am not learned. This is the Bible. He says, I am not learned. In the Islamic Quranic language, the angel told him, Iqra, he said, Ma ana biqari'in. I am not among those who can read. And then he's also, as we've already said, Ba'adahu fil ummiyin. Allah raised him up from among the unlettered. The life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of its markings, all of the significant facts of Muhammad's life fulfill what the prior revelations were promising to come. Muhammad is the fulfillment of that. Allama al-Quran khalaqa al-insan. And then in 29:12 for this comparison, in the 29th chapter, Isaiah 29, Holy Quran 29, Isaiah 12, Holy Quran 48, it says this, and you were not able to recite a book before this, nor were you able to write it with your right hand. In that case, would the talkers of vanities have doubted? That would have been the first place they went to if Muhammad was among the literate, among those who are learned, among those who are familiar with Scripture and Revelation, had he been among them, it's, no. The one that's coming, he's not supposed to be able to do what we know Muhammad was doing. No. Muhammad is the fulfillment of all previous revelation. Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everything that goes with him, is the final act in the life of humanity, leaving nothing but either you believe it and follow it, or you don't. And if you don't, what comes after this are the consequences of your failure. And those consequences are the consequences that come from the same creator of the heavens and the earth. And this is what this taqwa, this is what this khashiyah, this is what this righteous, God-conscious fear is to be born of, and the obligation. I'll mention it to you again. The obligation to become masters of the book. That's not just for the learned. Quran is not just for the so-called learned. Each one of you, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The Prophet said, surely the best among you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it to others. It's an obligation. It's not the imam's job exclusively to be the teacher of the Quran. No. وَتَوَصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Every one of us is supposed to be influencing each other with what we are getting from the Quran. We ain't supposed to be talking, you know, whatever, basketball, soap operas, etc. Every time. Not every time I see you. Come on now. Tell me something from the Quran. Just something. Don't matter. Well, asr, brother. Well, asr. Okay, alhamdulillah. That's good. That's something. It's critical. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent Muhammad at the end of Revelation to be the living reality of the Word of God among human beings, and as an evidence that Allah is real. My alarm is tickling my wrist right now, so let me let you know, I've gotten a word, you got to stop. But listen. With a moment like this, I cannot stop without emphasizing to you the Holy Quran is the proof that God is real. I'm not sure we appreciate that as much as we should. The Holy Quran is proof that God is real. When we hold the Quran, when we read the Quran, we are reading what the creator of the universe decided to say. It's the speech of Allah. Allah gave a speech for 23 years to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And we can read every word of God's speech to Muhammad anytime we pick up the book. And if God decided to put one word in front of another, or another word behind another, or to leave out this word in that sentence, he means something very particular in that decision. Really ask yourself, do I really want to know what God has to say? Because if you do, you would learn how to read the Quran in its original language. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم تسليما اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد
كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we acknowledge your reality. We acknowledge your presence at all times. We acknowledge your power over everything. We acknowledge your favor to us. We acknowledge your grace upon us. We pray that you would bless us not to be ungrateful, not to be rejectors of what you have revealed, not to be doubters, not to be lazy, not to be indifferent to what it is that you have done by giving us the perfect way of life and by favoring us with your complete favor and by giving us Muhammad as the model example for us and for all who remember you and recognize that we have a meeting with you about which there is no doubt. We beg this of you only. Guide us, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa aqim as-salat.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much for joining us this morning for Universal Dimension Leadership. We just aired yesterday's recording of the live Jumu'ah from Masjid al-Warathin. Alhamdulillah, the continuation of the subject further into the frontier of the Holy Quran. And now it's time to hear from you. So those of you who have comments, input, questions that you'd like to bring up before we take off with the added information that we come to the broadcast with for today, push one on your phone. Come on in. We want to hear from you. We need to talk to each other. We need to have a conversation that can only be had between people who understand the language that they share. Alhamdulillah. So come on. Push one on your phone. Come on through. As we await you to line up for your comments, I want to tell you, Kamila Mahasan Shuaib is going to be coming in at the, I think we're going to carve out maybe 15 minutes or so of the end of the broadcast for her input. As some of you may already know, that the website, the formal statement of the launching is tomorrow, actually, July 4th, the A Clear Understanding Institute's new website and all of the bells and whistles that go with that. And it's still just the beginning. And every time she and I talk about it, it expands. So inshallah, we thank Allah for what we have there. So that's coming up toward the end of the broadcast. And what's the other thing that I want to mention? Can't think of it. Inshallah, it'll come back to you after. All right, alhamdulillah, everybody, please have in consideration the fact that there are others after you until and unless you are the last one that are waiting to have comments. And I do have added information that I want to bring, and we need time to do that. That's all that is. It's just etiquette. That's all. It's not pushing back on comments because I want to hear from you. I'll say it again. We want to hear from you. We want to benefit from you. We want what you have to share because it helps all of us, the speaker included, okay? Understand that. So we got my brother, Brother Mark. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Brother Mark, you like that person that, you know, our mamas, our good mothers, and most of them were good. 99.5% of them are good. They tell you, you know, you can move up to the front of the class. Don't be sitting in that back row. Get up to the front. So you always right there, my brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, Brother E, man. I want to say assalamu alaikum to you and to our very astute listeners in the class here. Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. As always, I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And I want to just say what an excellent scholarly lecture. You know, the khutbah is a lecture, and the excellent connections that you made in delivering this, I always have admiration for imams, and particularly the imams in association with Imam David Dean Muhammad, in utilizing the methodology that Imam Muhammad gave to his students in terms of making connections. And I want you to know that I appreciate that in terms of the verses in biblical scripture, along with the verses in the Quranic scripture, and the connection there. It's mm-hmm. a whole lot of homework, for those who really truly are listening to go back and it's only so much time, as you have for a khutbah, but it also should be an inspiration for those to study, all of us to study, always the students. So I want to just say that first and foremost. And, all that you said in terms of the prophet, the Nabi, being the seal, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the seal of the prophets, and the Al-Quran being the final revelation and the confirmation of the scripture that went before it. All of that is irrefutable, indisputable. But you know, Brother Imam, I'm hearing seemingly more and more, and maybe you can address this, that even some imams and members in our community and association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, often referring to Prophet Muhammad as the last messenger. And of course, Imam Muhammad taught us as students that we always begin with the Quran, and nowhere in the Quran, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, does Allah say that Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the Rasuls. You know, it doesn't say that. And there's a reason. There's a reason for that. And as Allah has used not only the human being for to be his messenger, but when we look at it in the broad scope, as students of the Imam, that the whole natural creation is a messenger. We know that the angel Jibril, you know what I'm saying, was used as a messenger. And if we think about it, that Allah gives to us messages also. So there's a reason why that is, and I think that, you know, we have to want to know and understand why Allah says what he says in the Quran. So if you could say something in regards to that, I think it would be helpful to us that those that just continuously say that Prophet Muhammad is the last messenger. No, he's the last prophet. And Allah is, we can't limit Allah in terms of how he continuously is sending messages through his creation. And and even Jibril, I mean, you know, when it appears to people that come to us, sometimes you're thinking about something and it appears a person comes to you in terms of even in an angelic way, not being an angel, but bringing something to you, you know, that Allah wants you to have. We need to understand that. I could say more, but I'll stop there. I think you get the gist of that. And if my good brother, Imam Nazim Pasha, is on, I need to connect with you. Pasha, I lost your number, so give me a call if you're on there. Thank you, brother Imam. May Allah continue to bless us richly. Excellent job. This is a very enlightening topic that you embarked upon, and each khutbah is just revealing more and more. Thank you so much. I appreciate you greatly. As-salamu alaykum.
I appreciate you greatly, too. Alhamdulillah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. And yes, my brother is on. He's in the line. And inshallah, he heard what you said. And here's a sign of how appropriate what you say is. Now, I'm not, look, everybody, this is for everybody to understand. Listen. I have no issues with no imams in the Association of Imam Wahdi Muhammad that identify themselves with Imam Wahdi Muhammad. Y'all know me, man. I ain't about that. That's sandbox stuff in terms of any kind of head-to-head or whatever. I don't, you know, mashallah. Everybody's got a contribution to make. If you're sincere, there are many, many facets to this work right here, and there's plenty of room for everybody to learn. In fact, I did a video about my caps X number of years ago. I won't even go into it, but I used that video to explain how there are many ways to lead in this thing. You don't always have to, everybody don't have to eat out the same bowl. You know, okay, let's get away from that. But this falls also into Brother Mark's wheelhouse, which is the wheelhouse of students of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, and the very statements. So here, Mark, you can use this in the future in conjunction with all that you already know about it. this right here. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليم. And an expression of it, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah. That's one thing that he is. And the seal of the prophets. That's the other thing that he is. And Allah is knower of all things. What's the key? The verse number. The verse number. The key for what we're saying. The verse number. Allahu Akbar. I'm just going to give the verse number. Mark will get it. Some others of you will get it. It's verse number. It's chapter number 33. Verse number 40. I'm not going to say anything else. I'm not going to say anything else. I'm restraining myself. Alhamdulillah. All that is in 33:40. If you can't work with that, then you're not ready. MashaAllah. All right. So, Lynette, this is my brother. My brother Melvin. All y'all my brother, except for the sisters that's online. You my sisters. Brother Melvin, what's up?
Assalamu alaikum, buddy ma'am, and the rest of the listening audience.
Alhamdulillah.
What I wanted to say, ask you was that the reference that you made about the three questions that asked to Isa is I remember hearing about those questions but I was trying to find them and I couldn't find all three questions together and I thought I remember seeing them all three together.
Did you make note of the verse chapters and verses that I talked about?
I may have missed it. No, I didn't catch it. I must have missed that. Maybe that's why.
Let me give you. I'm gonna say that for the benefit of whoever else is on as well. Mm-hmm. The sections of the Bible that I talked about, mentioned, I should say, is John, not the first and second John issue, but just John, the main chapter, John, 16, chapter 16 of John, 7 to 20. And then also,
say that part again. I'm sorry.
John,
say that part again. 16.
7 to 20.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Then the next. Okay. Thank you so much. Oh, another one.
No, I'm not done. I'm not done. I'm gonna give you another one. All right.
Okay.
John 1:19 to 25. So that's where you can find the idea. You might not find them in each, you know, are you the Christ, are you Elias, are you that prophet? But in that whole section, in the questioning, each one of those will come up, inshallah.
Okay.
So John 1:19 through 25.
Okay. Alhamdulillah.
All right.
I got one more thing to say, and this is just
go ahead.
For the benefit of those who are in my same situation. I was talking to a youngster about in his 30s, and I was just mentioning about Adam, and you know how Adam is, you know, the whole deal with Adam. And what was interesting is that the kid made a comment to me that it was like, you know, I'm hiding in plain sight. It never occurred to me when I said it to him that Adam represents all human beings, and I said male and female, and he said, oh, okay, yeah, I see that in being. I see Madam in that. And it never occurred to me to connect Adam with Madam.
Yeah.
So he blew me away. And he's only 31. He's not a Muslim. And he saw that right away. And I'm like, wow. And so I would say, my question also is that since Adam is the man, the upright, or the man, you know, conscious of his responsibility, then would that mean that Madam would also be, you could see mother of Adam in that. But, and so would that be a community that produces such?
Yeah, Allahu Akbar. It's all good. I mean, that's fine. You know, that's those are, I don't know what I'll just say what we are following intuition right now. But you know, just what comes to mind right away is like origami, right? Origami, right? So origami, you know, that's that Asian, I think it's Japanese paper folding art or what have you. You know,
okay.
It's where a person is able to take paper and make, you know, birds and flowers
and what have you.
Okay. So the point is that there's a flexibility. Of course, now there are ways that can come about corrupt. People can make some corrupt interpretations. In fact, I think there was something online. I'm not trying to send people looking for that. Adam was supposedly this a book that was supposedly taken out of the Bible that said that Adam had revealed that God, that the one who created them was actually the devil. So a'udhu billahi
min ash-shaytan ar-rajim.
So I'm saying that, you know, the rational mind, the mind can rationalize anything in a manner of speaking. But the point is that Quran, and alhamdulillah, inshallah, next week we'll get to al-bayan and al-furqan, which is what the Quran is, the criterion between what is right and what's wrong. So you can evaluate. People can come to conclusions, and then we can evaluate their conclusions based on what the Quran brings. So if you come to a conclusion that the Quran rejects, well, then that's rejected. I'm saying that what you just mentioned is definitely acceptable as a way for me, as a way of making a point, and that point of the kind of historical pattern that's actually represented in that. You can go with Nafsun Wahida and all the rest of that and apply it as well. I say as a matter of interpretation, that's acceptable.
Yes.
I want to mention something too, since you mentioned that. A palindrome, you know what a palindrome is, right?
Yes, I know what you got. Yes.
What am I going to say? What am I going to say? You already there? What do you think?
I'm there. I think what you're saying, if I'm correct, is that it's spelled back both ways, forward and backwards.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Yes, I know. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. So you can make the line. You can make the line now with that. It said, "Madam, I'm Adam." Madam, I'm Adam. And so when you put that together, you can read it the same way, backwards and forwards, right?
Yes.
Just like the word, level, same thing.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Alhamdulillah.
All right.
Oh, another message. I guess you're almost like a switchboard operator, Imam. I just want to tell Imam Nazim, I got your message. I apologize, I didn't get back to you right away, but I'll give you a call later on today.
Y'all got a network going on. All right.
Yes.
Allahu Akbar. Well, I'm pleased to be a node in your communication network. Allahu Akbar. All right, shukran.
Salaam alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam. 7:04, we're coming to you, but since everybody's running Imam Nazim's name through here, we may as well bring him on. What's up, Imam? Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Brother Imam, and listen, audience. there's a little joke that comes with this. They often wonder, can a black man be seen when he's blushing, you know, and I'm just blushing my name and coming up so much, but... I don't have rosy red cheeks, but I've definitely been blushing. Didn't expect to see that coming. But
the Quran speaks of a blessed group. It says they're on the tongue of righteousness among the believers, or something like that. An honorable mention on the tongues of the believers, inshallah. Alhamdulillah.
All right,
yes, sir. What's going on, man?
Oh, you know, I was listening to what you were saying, and Brother Mark kind of got verified that these connections are being made because they're there to be made. I was listening to what you were saying last week about the ending of the end of the beginning is the beginning of the end. And I made the connection, like Brother Melvin was saying. So I see... that is being that Allah says that when he sent his last revelation, that was an end. But it also ended our quest for answers So then that means something had to begin.
Yeah.
So the end ended something, but it ended the quest for us for answers with something that made us have to begin our journey to discover this truth that's there, that has to be connected from the previous scripture, because it says, "Know ye the truth, and the truth alone will set you free."
Yeah.
So it, but like I said, the discovery process begins with an ending.
Yeah.
And that ending doesn't end. It just keeps on moving forward, because now you got to begin
right.
to go back to go forward.
That's right.
You know, and
that's
it,
right.
But and I guess that's why, like you were saying, it can be people get lost along the way because they start trying to make the connections, but the intent has to be there too. You got to say, what do you want to make the connections for? You want to prove your point, which you've been trying to get people to believe, or you want to not be right, but you want to do right. And I think that's the thing that solidifies it with us and makes this whole process possible, because a lot of people go in there, and like you said before, they don't come out with what they're looking for because they're looking for it for the wrong reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me mention, I know you have other comments. I hope you have other comments, but let me mention, while you were mentioning, I went to a translation of the Quran to get my point. The 19th chapter, the Surah of Maryam, the 50th mm-hmm. verse, it says, "And we bestow of our mercy on them, and we granted them lofty honor on the tongue of truth." We granted them lofty honor on the tongue of truth. You know, when people in the award system, which with this Quranic look of that on that statement, and then the award system in this world, it say, you know, they give the highest honor, then the next highest, and then the third, usually just three, the third highest, and then they'll have what's called an honorable mention, an honorable mention. But they make you think that the honorable mention, well, it's not as good as the others. But chronically speaking, is that we bestow our mercy on them and we granted them lofty honor on the tongue of truth. Now, that's an honorable mention right there. That
mm-hmm.
is honorable, so which is very, very high. Go ahead. What you have something to add?
Not really. I mean, I think that's a mouthful. What you were saying, when you really stop and think about it, that
mm-hmm.
we did something that we're really not necessarily worthy of. We have to become worthy of it, because you've earned something. Sort of a, how can I say, it's a blessing, but it's also a burden, because you could have been like Charlie, left on the block. You know what I mean? But you came off the block to this noble position for what?
Yeah, no, it's
turn around
and
do all
truly,
that flexion muscle.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about dodging a bullet, literally and figuratively, that Allah blessed us to come to Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, even after the Nation of Islam. You had to dodge that bullet too. You know?
Yes.
It's like you could have stayed on the other track. But Allah showed you the way to the right way. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes. All
right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right. 704. This is Miami. Where we at? 704. What's your name? Where you calling
Rick.
From? Assalamu
alaikum,
Rick?
My brother. How you doing?
I met some other folks from Detroit yesterday at Jumu'ah. Alhamdulillah.
I hope they represented well.
Yeah, they represented, man. They represented. Talk to. Where are you? He's your cousin, your uncle. Which was Naeem?
What cousin?
Hello.
Hello, I'm listening.
I'm asking, is Naeem your cousin or your uncle? Which one is?
My cousin. He's my cousin.
All right. Good. What's up, man?
Man, first of all, to the audience and everybody, peace. Since I've become a Muslim, it's almost 12 years ago now, and reading the Quran, there's, in terms of, and you made reference to it in your cook by Friday, to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when Jibril, peace be upon him, performed what he was instructed to perform onto the prophet in terms of the squeeze, the hug, peace be upon him. And he told the prophet to read. And I don't believe the prophet that I believe was disobedient to Allah. So my question is to you, what was it there for the prophet to read, peace be upon him? And I haven't found anything, haven't found any reference as to what he was reading or what he should read.
Beautiful. Now, just your question is about to bring tears to my eyes. And it's such that you asked the right question, and we don't have time to go into detail today, but that is the very next step up to the khutbah, that series of khutbahs. By one count, we've done 7. By another count, we've done 8. So next week, we're really, really starting to get into that very question. So that means you are tracking well in terms of having the right question at the right point. No, wallahi, I'm telling you, I'll finish with you, and I'll mention an experience with me and Imam W.D. Muhammad that reaffirms what it is that you're saying. But you're asking the right question. It's right in time with the logic of the pattern and the steps that we've taken, and it also reinforces the need to learn the original Arabic language, because the answer is in Quran, which in terms of what its multiple meanings are, only one of them is to read. All right?
Okay. Now, one other question. Your Monday financial program, what time do you start out there? What time does it come on?
4:30 p.m. 4:30 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay, so I've been tuning in the wrong time. Okay. All right. Thanks. I appreciate it. And man, that's been on my mind.
That's good.
When you said what you said, you brought tears in your eyes. Because I've been wondering. I read hadith. I'm a reader, although I cannot read Quran in the original language, my endeavor.
Well, that's the next step.
The more that I do read it and I listen to it, and I'm beginning every week, I get better at it. I'm not good at it at all, not in the least bit, but I'm getting better at it every week.
Allahu Akbar. Congratulations. Alhamdulillah.
Thanks, my brother.
All right, thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
Alaykum
as-salam.
Yes, so alhamdulillah. So let me mention this about Imam Wahid Muhammad. That was going to be the last of the comments that we'll take, Imam Muhammad. So I'm riding with the, Imam Muhammad, whatever the occasion was that we were, when he was here in the Bay Area. And so the way that things went in the course of our talking to each other, we're having a conversation, and so I'm listening to him saying what he's saying, and then different points he would stop, and sort of like I didn't know what was going on. It was very normal. It wasn't affected or a dramatic or what have you. It would he just stopped. It was kind of like he just stopped talking. Then after it happened a couple of times, then I would ask a question, and the question that I would ask, unbeknownst to myself, I didn't consciously know what was happening, but mashallah, I'm certain that he did. So I would just ask the question, and that question would just kind of, dovetail or continue what he was saying at the point that he stopped. And it happened another time during the same series and sequence. And another, in one situation, I would ask a question, and then he would continue. And in another part of the situation, I would continue the thought that he was laying out. And so that means blah 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 blah. So then the other I would ask the question, And so, mashallah, alhamdulillah, this is no boast. I'm just telling the experience that then when I, quote, unquote, went on to say, oh, okay, well, this is kind of what the lesson is. So let me go ahead and ask the question that it seems that the lesson should be teaching. Because you've heard me say, you don't know the subject until you know the object. You don't know the subject until you know the object. On one level, knowing the object means, okay, well, what symbolizes, what is the abstract for this subject? The subject of the destiny of humanity, I will give you an example. The subject of the destiny of the humanity is the Kaaba. The Kaaba is the object that represents the subject of the destiny of humanity. The Kaaba is the object of the subject of the destiny of humanity. All right? If you can work that sentence out, then you get what I'm saying. And so that's like the high example of, for us as Muslims and us as human beings, it's like, that's it. Hajj is the end objective of life. The Kaaba is where we're going. Abraham built it, but Abraham built it after he fully understood the subject. When he understood the subject, then he built the Kaaba. So that's he understood the object because he understood the subject. And you don't demonstrate that you understand the subject until you know the object. And you should be able to pull out an object. If you really understand it, there is something that is a sign. Speaking about Iqra, something that is a sign to be read in the subject with regard to the subject, you should be able, if it's truth, you should be able to find something in the nature of creation that bears witness to the truth that you say you find. That goes back to, I'm sorry, I can't remember who the comment was from, but the point is that interpretation. So Melvin brought about an interpretation, right? And so the question is, you look at the interpretation, and then you see if the interpretation either is reflected in something in the natural creation, or if it contradicts something that's in the natural creation. If it doesn't contradict something in the natural creation, then first, you know, then it can get a pass there. It's acceptable. It reaches a level where it's fine. It's not falsehood. It's not, you know, anti-truth, let's put it like that. But if it's the truth, then you should be able to find something in creation that reflects that very truth, because that's it. One is abstract, the other is concrete. All right. So in this conversation with the imam, then that comes up with the question. Again, you don't know the subject until you know the object. I felt like, oh, okay, I think I know this is the object of our interaction here. So I asked the imam, I said, is it possible for two people to communicate without words, Can they communicate telepathically? He said, yes. Yes, they can communicate telepathically. But they have to have the same level of purity, and they also have to be to the same objective. They have to be dedicated to the same objective. So it's like they have an aim in common, and they also have the same level of purity. Now, you have to spend some time thinking on that. Don't just flip to one side of the coin. Yeah, and let me just make it easy. Inshallah. It's like there's a dark side and there's a light side to that. Let's put it like that. There's a dark side and there's a light side to that. Right? So they have to be dedicated to the same objective, project, if you will. And they have to have the same level of purity. So then they'll be on the same wavelength. They'll be on the same wavelength. We talked about tuning, capacitors, and all the rest of that. All that has bearing. because consciousness is one, creation is one, and so it's very good. So the point is that you know, those questions that come up naturally as the extension of what came before it, those are just signs of being on the right track, following the ideas. So alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So inshallah, we'll get to that. What I want to do today, we're at a transition point where on the Jum'ah that was grounded in Ar-Rahman, so we're in a transition. So we've covered to our satisfaction, mashallah, verse 1, Ar-Rahman, verse 2, Allama al-Qur'an. Verse 3, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ. So that's basically what was completed with this Jum'ah, the one just passed. And alhamdulillah, if you've been with this, then you know that we've been talking about human language and the language of the Qur'an, human language and the language of the Qur'an. And we've talked about that over the Wednesday series, the Saturday and the Sunday, language. So my decision was to give those prerequisites, give those premises for the conclusion, which is verse 4. If you take Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Qur'an, Khalaqa al-Insan, Allamahu al-Bayan as the conclusion, based on the frame that I put it in, then that's all of those premise, Ar-Rahman premise. Alama al-Qur'an premise, Khalq al-Insan premise, conclusion, Alamahu al-Bayan, right? 1 + 2 + 3, that's logic. I'm not saying that's not arithmetic, that's just the logic of it. The gracious Lord caused the Qur'an to be known, created the insan, and taught him speech and intelligence, right? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Very, 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 very rich from an individual and from a collective point of view. So inshallah, make dua for us. Inshallah, next week we'll start on that. I don't know how many pieces are going to be involved with just then ayah 4, surah 55, but it's very rich. So this being a transition point, then it's not halftime. We've gone through three quarters, so this is maybe called the seventh inning stretch, if I put a sports metaphor on it. I want to read some hadith to you. And my object is to encourage you to, again, to reinforce this the issue of how blessed you are to be a Muslim today. You are blessed to be a Muslim today. We are blessed to be a Muslim today. And in Bismillah, in focusing that, I want to give these reports from the Prophet. And my intention in sharing these is to show the mercy and the blessings and the forgiveness that is on Muslim believers in these. The last days of this order, brothers and sisters, you should know we are in the last days of what this world's order was founded on. The material that this world, as it is, was grounded in, it had a flaw that was in it. It had some excellence about it and still has some excellence about it, but there were some fundamental flaws in it that left a crack for corruption to get in on all those levels. You know, Quran is Rahmatin, the Prophet, peace be upon him, Rahmatin lil alameen, right? The Prophet, a mercy to all the worlds, all the systems of knowledge. So that is to say to us, this world that we live in is built on systems of knowledge. It's built on systems of knowledge, economic knowledge systems, academic knowledge systems, political knowledge systems, cultural knowledge systems, religious knowledge systems. And all of those systems had khayr and shar in them. And the world that was built upon those Western academic knowledge systems, Western political knowledge systems, Western cultural knowledge systems, Western economic, you can probably think of names for each one of those domains. And alhamdulillah, it has done wonderful, but the cracks are more than showing now. The faults in the system are more than showing now. And that's what we're experiencing. We're experiencing the creaking, cracking, falling, collapsing due to the fissures, the fractures, and the faults, literally California faults, in the total system of the world and of America. That's what we're experiencing right now. You can look at some of these commercials. I say this, you can do it by just look at the commercials. Just look at the commercials. Did I just see what I just saw? Did they just say what I did? What? Commercial. I mean, talk about the program. So we're at these are the last days, brother and sister. Don't think I'm talking to Muslim. I'm talking about believing Muslim. Don't think like a Jehovah's Witness. Don't think like a Pentecostal Christian. Don't think like anybody else. Think like a Muslim who believes that there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And if you have the great benefit of the language and insight of the Imam Wahabi Muhammad, add that to it as another filter. And then you won't run around like Chicken Little. You know, the sky is falling, the sky. Yeah, the sky is falling, but you need to understand what the sky is, you know, and keep your wits about yourself, keep your head about yourself, keep your plan going forward, tighten up in all the ways you should tighten up, and you're going to be fine. Because the hereafter is just that. It's hereafter. It's not thereafter. It's hereafter. So this is what we are quote unquote in. We are in the here after what? After the order collapses, and we want to be here after the order collapses. In fact, we want to be the new order, and to do that, you have to obey Allah. To do that, you have to hear the word and follow the best meaning in it. All right, but my focus, when we spent time in the Jumu'ah, or rather at my focus, we spent time in the Jumu'ah talking about sin and forgiveness. And again, we've already told you about, you know, we use the word sin, to, you know, it just creeps in, shortcomings, faults. We have shortcomings. We're all of us have shortcomings and faults. It's a part of the existential situation for human beings. And so, If you haven't truly gone inside and converted, you know, you can have external conversion, you can have the outward conversion, but you have to have that conversion within. As the Quran speaks of, the desert Arabs say, we believe. And they say, no, don't say you believe, but say you have submitted, because faith has not yet entered into your heart. And so... so entering into your heart means that it becomes a part of your core operations, your core operating system. It becomes a part of your map. Get this straight here. Yeah, the idea of this, it's like your automatic mental patterns, it becomes a part of your automatic mental patterns. And let me go ahead and read this hadith so I can get to the last part of today's program. So the point is that the part that I want you to be aware of, don't beat yourself up. And don't beat other Muslims up, right? What you mean, don't beat other Muslims up? Meaning that, oh, man, you say you're a Muslim. It's like, and you're looking in the mirror. You're looking at yourself also. Saying, oh, man, and you call yourself a Muslim, right? So you're down on yourself and you're down on others. So you're looking around in this collapsing world that we live in and this powerful culture that's whose gravity is designed to pull you away from your natural orientation. That's what this whole world is. This is the war. The war is against nature, okay? It's against, quote-unquote, God's will for humanity. That's what I'm saying. It's a battle. You don't hear them like the way you hear bombs and guns, et cetera, but they are, stuff is getting blown up. People are getting blown up. You know what I'm saying? From this intra-psychic perspective, people are getting blown up. And things that are being put out there in the world that are designed to blow your mind. That's one of the metaphors, one of the memes of the day is mind blown. Well, that's the goal, to blow your mind. Okay, Muslim, don't be hard on yourself. And don't be hard on other Muslims, because in the last days, stuff is not easy for nobody. And you may think that you are not good or you're not in a good situation with God because you may be using the wrong standards for judging even yourself. You're not equipped to judge yourself. So let me just, the point here is for us to recognize how much mercy, how much blessing, how much forgiveness just by us being on Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah in these last days is powerful. I want to give it to you from the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm only going to read a couple, and then we got to go. Mashallah. Want to hear from Camila? She's going to bring us up on the website. Unfortunately, we won't be able to take any other comments outside of, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to bring on Camila, and that's going to be it. Here's hadith from the Prophet to underscore what I'm saying. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, verily, you are in a time. He's speaking to them. He's speaking to them at their time. You are in a time in which whoever among you leaves of what he has been commanded will be destroyed in the hereafter, meaning that I'm present among you. The Quran has been revealed. The world has been, your world has been purified. If you leave one-tenth of what you've been commanded, you will be destroyed in the hereafter. Speaking of the Abu Hurairahs and the others of his time, you will be destroyed in the hereafter. And the Prophet said, then there will come a time in which whoever amongst you practices a tenth of what he has been commanded will be saved. Okay? So the situation is reversed, meaning that, okay, here you are in the presence of the Prophet, the revelation is coming to you, you witness the revelation, you witness the transformation. If you leave one-tenth of what you have received, Abu Huraira and others, if you leave one-tenth, you will be destroyed in the hereafter. And the Prophet said, then there's going to come a time in which whoever amongst you practices one-tenth. What does that mean? You could be 90% wrong. You know any Muslim that's 90% wrong? Nah, he's 90% wrong. She's 90%, man. You're a Muslim, man. but you're 90% wrong, but you're holding on to 10%. Allahu Akbar. You're holding on to 10%. Come on now, look at yourself. Look at the mirror and say, are you holding on to more than 10%? I mean, really, 10%. You know? I mean, do you make one prayer a day? Hell, I shouldn't say it like that. You know what I'm at? 20%. That's 20% right there. Did you fast 3 days in Ramadan? Well, that's 10% of Ramadan. I mean, did you give something in? You see where I'm going, right? So it's like if you hold on to just 10% of it, that means you can be 90% off your Islamic game, if you will, and you'll be saved. Allah is most merciful. I'm going to save the others for later because we're running back on time, and I want to get my firstborn and my tech savvy daughter up in here. What's up, baby girl?
Not much, Baba. Happy to be here and on. And I got booted out. You got a full house because called the other number, got booted out. And I'm like, okay, full house, wall to wall.
Hello, Agra. Good to see you. All right, so come on with what you're coming on with. Give a little background and cover. So everybody, look, we might be here a little bit after the top of the hour. So if you're on Blog Talk, Facebook, you're good. You're on Blog Talk, stay in. If you get dropped out for some reason, go on over to find us on Facebook, and you'll be fine. But I want Camila to update us on ground and details and operations of the new website. Go right ahead, sir.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to all the listeners and watchers on Facebook. My name is Camila Shueb. I'm CEO and owner of Love is Always the Subject, and I am an advocate for the ACU Institute, a Clear Understanding Institute, which is founded by Imam Fahim Shueb, a student of Imam Warsim Muhammad, Rahimullah Alayh. And we are evolving. We are evolving the access to Islamic knowledge that speaks specific to the Bilalian experience. Though everyone can benefit from it, it is still speaking our language as Bilalians and our experience at growing up and living as Muslims here in America. As we know, our narrative is usually erased from the historical what we get to the Islamic world knowledge understanding. So the Clear Understanding Institute is a place where you see yourself reflected in the understanding of this beautiful way of life that we call Al-Islam. And so we had our first website, and the imam is that we know what we don't know, and then we do what we need to learn it or find those who do know so that we can bring it excellence with our best intent behind it. So our first website that we had, I worked from what it is that I knew and understood because I knew that not enough people had access to a Clear Understanding Institute. And, he meaning my dad, was giving away rich jewels, like the jewels that are changing people's lives. When you think about a mine, right? You go into a mine. If they say, okay, you got 1 hour in this mine, it don't cost you nothing. It just costs you an hour, right? And people go in there and they come out, and their entire lives are changed as a result of it. This is the experience that many students and listeners and watchers of Imam Fahim Shueb and people who have experienced a Clear Understanding Institute have been able to step right in, get all the jewels, and walk away with a more enriched life as a result of it. And alhamdulillah, Allah is the best accountant, unlike ourselves. Allah is the best accountant. Even if we don't see it here, we will see it because Allah keeps track of all things without problem. So the first website was that space where we, it was just an idea. It started as an idea to archive the khutbahs, the workshops, having access to the notes from when we do Blog Talk Radio, or any notes that he has just in moments of inspiration. And then, of course, this for some, it was a gift. COVID was a gift in ways that it caused us to go inside for ourselves. That's a whole nother khutbah within itself. But even with that pressure that was put on us in 2020, we have to evolve what ACU could do, because now we're no longer traveling to conferences. And we needed to be able to keep up with technology, with understanding how to make it easily accessible for individuals to get the richness of it and to, you know, upgrade the engine. You know, we wanted to really make this vehicle Rolls-Royce-like, you know, in this next step. So we have found a new site where this institute is, and we have a system in place that we're working to continue to make it consistent with the new materials. These are materials that you won't have access to through Blog Talk and through the Facebook Live and so forth. But we have the Future Roots Leadership, and then we have the Merriam site. So Merriam, we had not had enough time to really talk about this beautiful ideal of marriage from an Islamic perspective, but creating workshops and opportunities for counseling, opportunities for groupthink through the Merriam. And then Future Roots Leadership is going to be a monthly installment of classes and materials and content that you'll have access to. So there's three memberships. There's a, if you just want Future Roots, that's there for you. If you are a leader of your community, or if you are the leader in your own household, these classes are very much so important for you to have. Merriam, which will start to have like quarterly installments of new content and live workshops. And then there's the All Access. Here's the thing with the All Access. The All Access gives you access to all of the classes for Merriam and all of the classes for Future Roots. These are not recorded classes that were from past workshops. That's not what's in Future Roots. These are brand new installments of content that we are working to create a certification to ensure that people are getting the richness of what it is, right? So All Access gives you access to all of the workshops that will be newly uploaded every month. And then we're also adding in there different transcripts and or notes from past blog talks on leadership and things like that. So if you are a real student looking to have access to this library, and this is what we would like to call a legacy, you know.
Absolutely.
With a legacy.
Camila, let me interject something. I want you to carry on.
Sure.
But I want to interject something at this point, because I went back and looked at, there are four broadcasts, and I'm going to mention that all of these broadcasts after Wednesday, all of these broadcasts are going to be abbreviated. Stay online. Those of you who are on blogs, so well, stay on if you want to hear what we have to say. After Wednesday, all the broadcasts like these, they're going to be cut back at least to an hour. They may become half hour. We're going to be giving most all of our attention to the content that is prepared for and on a clear understanding. But we're gonna for now up until Wednesday. So the last 2 hour broadcast is actually going to be like this Wednesday, which is the 7th, I think. Yeah, I think the 7th. Mm-hmm. But what I want to say about those archives. Now they're not going to be loaded up all at once. There are portions of them. They're going to be portions of given each period of time. However, they will include and also more than, because there were many notes in the other on the other site that didn't get uploaded, but I have indiscriminately, except for the titles themselves, I have indiscriminately put everything from the time we started the other site up until basically like the end of last month. They will be included in that folder, in mm-hmm. those folders. Now, and those are folders for all four of the separate broadcasts. Okay, we have Wealth Creation and Preservation, which is the Monday broadcast. We have All Things Human, which is the Wednesday broadcast. And then we had the Universal Dimensions of Leadership, which was the Saturday broadcast. And then Quran Salat Institute, which is the Sunday broadcast. So there have been four broadcasts for many, many years, but these folders include basically 3 years of material. We started in November 2018. January 2019, round figures, January 2019. Yeah. So you have notes for 2019, 2020, and up to the middle of 2021 that are basically what's in these folders, all the notes of which, even if you were signed to a clear understanding in the earlier version, you didn't get all these notes that are there now. Let me tell you how much is there. So I asked myself, because I wanted to cover how much material is actually in these folders. I'm just like a beaver, like a bee, you know. I'm just making honey, just putting out there, like, and putting out like you just mentioned. So then I looked in the World Creation folder. There's 177 megabytes. In the Quran Salat Institute folder, there are 4.5 megabytes. In the All Things Human folder, there's 2.4 megabytes. In the Universal Dimensions of Leadership folder, there are 32.7 megabytes. Now, why is that a big deal? One page, and let me just read it from the Wikipedia. If a page has 2,000 characters on it, and that's it, if it was a complete, double-spaced page, then that one page would have 2 kilobytes. That's two kilobytes, one page. Okay, so we know our pages are not, you know, line. Those of you who've gotten the notes, you know that. So, you know, you could say three quarters of a page is like each page of any of our notes, right? But going on, it means that it will take 500 pages of text to equal 1 megabyte. I'll say it again. 500, that's 500 pages of text to equal 1 megabyte. Now, let me tell you. The Wealth Creation folder itself has 177 megabytes. That's the measure from the computer that this folder contains, 177 megabytes. What is that? 88,500 pages. That's just one folder. 88,500 pages. And those of you who know Wealth Creation, the Wealth Creation podcast, you know that I put links to YouTube videos and others that are specifically extracted for the subject that's there. 88,500 pages. Do the math. Let's say, well, 25% of the page is not there. Okay, it's fine. Let's make it 77. Let's make 75% of the pages are full. All right. So what does that mean? That means it's about 60,000 pages just in one folder. And the Quran Salat Institute folder, 4.5 megabytes. What is that? 2,250 pages. All Things Human folder, 2.4 megabytes, 1,200 pages. The Universal Dimensions folder, 32.7 megabytes, 16,350 pages. That's what is free and available to those who are in with that all access reach. That's, I'll leave it right there. Go ahead, baby.
Yeah, and it's pretty much, he's pretty much giving away a PhD in Islamic studies and learning space. And we, you know, I am honored to have been raised with the idea that Allah is the greatest to reward us in that we do. And I am saying to you that you will benefit in a great way, inshallah, if you enter with a sacredness of understanding what this gift is. So yes, it's a PhD for free with you get access. And it's so much more important that we as Blacks have more important than anything else in it is because of that.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up,
sweetheart. This way of life. Can you hear me better?
Yeah, I hear you better right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so I'm saying that this is, it's more important to us community have access to it, that the Bilalians have access to this knowledge and understanding, because these tools are the tools that will allow us as a unit, as a community, to be better. Because we know when one is better, we're all better. It's no need, you know, Harriet Tubman say, we ain't free until we all free. Like, this is that. For the all access and having this knowledge and these notes. So we're going to put them up slowly because it is so much to consume. But, you know, I realize that we talked about that you and I are going to have to start having more conversations together and live. We're going to do that. Like, this is confirmation for me in having this conversation, that being clear about what it is that you want to do, this is how you need to approach the notes. If you are a person about finances, wealth, entrepreneurship, then those are the notes that you need to focus and put your energy towards really understanding that. It's like, you know, when we used to, I think about when I was in high school, they would assign a book, but then it was like the cheat codes was the little yellow crib notes or what have you.
Cliff notes,
right?
Yeah.
The cliff notes, right? And and this is that, you know what I'm saying? But richer than the cliff notes, because the cliff notes leaves out some key things that you may not have thought was important, but it is important. And that's what those notes are. And when I say this, that's the notes only. We're not talking about the workshops. We're not talking about the other commentary and access to content that you have in being a part of the ACU Institute, because this is an institute for us, by us, with our sensitivities in mind, with our needs in mind. And if we don't understand the value, the level of love that we have for ourselves, and knowing that we have to hear ourselves in the narrative of understanding how this is a crucial part of our survival as human beings and our survival as Bilalians in maintaining and preserving our culture, then it ain't for you if you don't see that. So we're talking to those that know, and I know that if you're on here now, then I know it's for you, right? So if you're on our newsletter, you can have access to it. The website is still the same, aclearunderstanding.institute. The first session, Future Roots, will be uploaded by midnight tonight and ready to go. The notes, you'll have access to that, because we want to spread out the time, because we want you to take the time to study it. Then we're going to come back together and have moments to have a conversation. There's a spot for you to put commentary underneath it that, you know, the team will have an opportunity to look through the comments and respond back. But it gives you the time to recognize it and then come back through and mark it as completed, because it's a beautiful platform. So you can use the code for all access, the code for the coupon to get 6 months of the Institute for $9.99 for 6 months. And then after that, it goes to $29.99. That's for all access. If you choose Merriam only, it's $9.99. If you choose Future Roots, it's only $9.99. If you choose All Access, which gives you both of the institutes plus the notes and the additional classes and workshops through All Access, then it's $29.99, okay? So That being said, the code is on the newsletter. It's under ACU Institute is the code that you will put in there. But if you are on our mailing list and newsletter, we will put that out, and you can go ahead and go on there and click the link for that membership to get started, to get 6 months of all access for $29.99. And I think, is there anything else? I think that's pretty much the gist of it. You know, and we're just flat out excited. Like, this is still early stages, and I want to honor those who have been such loyal supporters and have maintained their patience with us as we learn and evolve and do this. We're getting, you know, the individuals who know to step in to keep it, you know, keep us in the running. We present ourselves because it is definitely our intention to present ourselves in a clean and most excellent way possible that honors the information that you'll have access to through the ACU Institute website. So with that, it's great that it doesn't go unappreciated. We severely appreciate you sticking it out with us and being with us through the evolutionary times of what the ACU Institute is seeking to do and what we plan to do, inshallah, in the future.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. I appreciate your leadership, your entrepreneurship. And we're not gonna try to lay it all out today, as you mentioned. Let me say this: we're not going to do a broadcast tomorrow, so we'll be off air tomorrow. So it's, you know, 4th of July, enjoy, etc. But we will be back on the Monday broadcast with the same regular 2-hour format, and of course there's some special recognitions that have to be made on Monday. But we'll bring more of this information back on Monday. There's a couple of details that I know that could be added in the interest of promoting it to you. So we'll come back with more comments like this, and I'll give more time to it on Monday, and then also another time on Wednesday as well, and a portion of our morning broadcast on Wednesday. So for now, that's going to be it. If there's any question, if you have a question that we have Camila on now, she can answer your question for you. Push one on your phone, give you a chance to question her. And Facebook, at this moment, I'm looking at the Facebook comments section. So if you can, if you have a question or comment that you want to bring, to push one, and then we'll reply to it. Imam Nazim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Imam and Sister Mahasan. Just had a real quick question for her. It may sound like a strange one, but just getting the contact information so that people who want to join, who maybe have previously joined, or maybe they need to see if their subscription is up to date, who should we call, and what would be the contact information that we need to have to do that?
You would be able to, well, you can email direct aclearunderstandingnow@gmail, aclearunderstandingnow@gmail.com, to send that email. There are no memberships up right now. There are some people who have signed on through the new website currently, and you can go on there. If you are on our mailing list where you receive our weekly newsletter, all of the information about the website and the direct link to the website, including the coupon, is on that newsletter that we've been sending out every week. If it's not in your main mailbox, check your spam. And then when you check your spam, move it to your main mailbox, because any and all updates, even including new classes that are loaded and so forth onto the website, you will begin to get that in your front main mailbox.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for the question. Alhamdulillah. Any others before we sign off? Thank you so much, Camila, Mahasan, Bilalian, Shuaib.
Alhamdulillah.
I got another deputy assignment for you. I got to see if I can conscript you for that as well.
Okay.
But life goes on. All right,
yes,
sweetheart. I love you. All right, everybody,
I love
thank
you
so much. God's peace. Everybody have a wonderful and safe Independence Day. And we know what kind of independence we're talking about. And you know what? That is our anthem. God's peace be on you, everybody. Have a wonderful day, weekend, life. Inshallah, I'll talk to you on Monday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Why must we feel our future's so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day off crumbs from the table. This dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life. Let's go.
dependent.